The following legacy edition of Compassion Radio, featuring Dr. Norm Nelson, originally aired in September of 2015.
But what they're doing is enticing kids. They can track words that you use on the internet, and so they can hone in to sell you things or to bait you with things. They get the kids to come there, but then as soon as they do, they can identify everybody that clicks on their webpage.
Yeah.
And then they start recruiting.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do. And this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Tracking the triumph of God from every nation on earth. Hello, and welcome to a very special edition of Compassion Radio. And as it often happens when Norm and Cher Nelson collaborate in the studio, we often end up with a lot more material than we can share in this 26-minute broadcast. So let's turn it over to our dynamic duo straight away. Norm?
All right, once again, Cher is in the studio with me. And we're going to be talking about a very interesting subject, and it's a big topic, actually. Cher, I have a question for you. What do you think would be the city in the U.S. with the largest concentration of Middle Eastern Muslim young people who are preparing or who have already made the trip to Syria to be part of the ISIS militia? What city in the U.S. would be most likely, do you think?
Well, I guess it depends on whether I try to figure it out by where they would have immigrated to that would be most likely, or where I think the largest congregation of unhappy people might be. First, I suppose you would guess warm climate, desert-like terrain, because that would be most like home. Or you might think maybe New York City, because a lot of people are alienated there.
Were you talking about maybe Phoenix to begin with?
Well, maybe, sure, Texas or...
Yeah.
New Mexico or something like that?
All right.
You're going
and
to
New
surprise
York.
Me,
yeah,
aren't you?
That's logical. No, you're not even close.
I'm so surprised.
Actually.
That was a setup question.
I sort of know that you know the answer to this, but I wonder what our listeners would say. I think the logic that you presented was more or less, you know, the path that people would take in trying to figure that out. Here's the answer. Are you ready?
Okay.
Minneapolis, Minnesota. Now, you've been to Somalia.
Yes.
And I have not. Somalis come from one of the most difficult, maybe the most dangerous and difficult countries on the planet. It's what they call a failed state in the parlance of the State Department.
Right. People will probably remember that that's where all the pirates are that have been attacking ships. And-
yeah, right. But it's a very hot, deserty, chaotic sort of a situation with virtually no advanced infrastructure.
No.
And basically no government, no effective government at all.
No services, just poor people.
I mean, the idea that Somalis would gravitate to Minneapolis makes absolutely no sense.
No sense.
And I have a story here that I want to share with you. And it comes from the New York Times. A young man by the name of Abdi Noor, on his Twitter feed, presented a chilling progression from the basketball courts of South Minneapolis to the battlefields of Syria.
Mm.
Early last year, he began posting stern religious pronouncements and snippets on scripture. And of course, scripture means for him,
the Quran.
The Quran. Then the article continues, on May 2, a day after turning 20 years of age, he hailed Islamic fighters and with these words, "If the sky would be proud of the existence of the stars, the land should be proud of the existence of the Mujahideen."
Mm.
Now, the Mujahideen was a radical group of fighters who came into Afghanistan during the war with the Soviet Union, and the Soviets couldn't beat them.
Mm-mm.
And Osama bin Laden came as a part of that influx from the Arab world into Afghanistan. They basically won the war against the Soviet Union. And one of the spinoffs of that event, and this is something to keep in mind when we talk about war with Islamic radical elements. Mm-hmm. The Soviets lost the war, and one of the spinoffs was the Soviet Union dissolved. That was the beginning of the end, a configuration of nations all under the control of Russia. And that comprised the Soviet Union, and we had an enormous Cold War with them, and we won it. But the Soviets and the Soviet Union really began to fall apart, and did fall apart in large part because they were defeated by the Mujahideen. So mm-hmm. that's what the reference here refers to. And then the article goes on May 29, the day he disappeared, he posted these words, "I thank Allah for everything, no matter what!" Exclamation point. Soon he was in Turkey, rebuffing his mother's and his sister's anguished pleas to come home. In late July, he declared, "Oh, what a beautiful day in Raqqa." And Raqqa is the de facto capital of the Islamic State in Syria. He posted a picture of himself online with his finger on the trigger of a Kalashnikov. A slightly built man with an easy smile, and there's no denying that. I mean, this kid looks like he ought to be sitting around in Starbucks.
Mm-hmm. Any American teenage kid in his T-shirt and his blue jeans,
yeah,
but with
yeah.
his Kalashnikov.
Absolutely no threat in the physical presence of this young man. He is a rare example of an American fighting for the terror group whose story can be pieced together from online postings, interviews, and public records. His case suggests, and these are important words, that the Islamic State may rely on recruiters inside the United States, mm-hmm. and these are also important words. It shows how hard it is to predict who will be swept away by ideological fervor.
Mm-hmm.
Another way of expressing ideological fervor is ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Mr. Noor was enrolled in community college outside Minneapolis and spoke of becoming a lawyer. Then he started visiting a new mosque, and dressing in more traditional garb, he plotted his getaway with a friend, Abdullahi Youssef, but their fates markedly diverged. And then the article goes on from there, and I would like to wrap up the loose ends that were in what I read to you, but I want to go further down the article because I think this is where it gets really, really disturbing. The number of Americans drawn to the Islamic State remains modest, especially by comparison with the 3,000 or so who have joined the group from Europe. More than 24 men and women have been stopped by the FBI and soon charged before they could fly away. But there's a graphic that shows a whole lot more, numerically speaking, of Americans, young people as well as older people, who in one way or another who have been seduced
mm-hmm.
into becoming involved with not just ISIS, but Al-Qaeda, with Shabab, a number of Islamic groups, radical groups, extremist groups. And it's a significant number. But of that larger number, 6 have converted to Islam, 8 are women, and 11 are teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the American ISIS volunteers display an earnest religious zeal, usually newfound.
Mm-hmm.
Let me repeat that. Most of the American ISIS volunteers display an earnest religious zeal, usually newfound. The discovery of Islam and their enticement into it is a recent phenomenon in their young lives. And in addition to that, they tend not to be all that well versed in what Islam is.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to a very special legacy edition of Compassion Radio today, featuring the late Dr. Norm Nelson alongside his wife, Cher. Even though he's no longer with us, and this particular broadcast was first aired in the fall of 2015, He has so much to share with us, and we would all benefit from listening. Coming up in a little bit here, we'll tell you more about how we are indeed honoring Norm's legacy this month with our Legacy of Learning Library Project. And we'll offer solid, tangible ways for you to get involved. Our toll-free number is 1-800-868-2478. That's 800-868-2478. Or you can always reach us online at CompassionRadio.com. Now, let's get back to the program.
I noticed on the internet, because we do a lot of research on different things like this, I get ads for websites to go to that look very appealing, as though they're just going to explain a little bit about Islam. They look very harmless, but what they're doing is enticing kids. You know, they can track words that you use on the internet, and so they can hone in to sell you things or to bait you with things. They get the kids to come there, but then as soon as they do, they can identify everybody that clicks on their web page.
Yeah.
And then they start recruiting. As easily as it is possible to sucker a young girl into thinking that she's having a romance on the internet, it is even easier to persuade kids that they're just learning something that, gosh, didn't you know this? This is public knowledge that you should know.
Sure.
And then, well, you should think, and then you should do. And I have some other information that goes right along with what you had said, and this is from The Economist.
Yeah.
And this year, it starts out talking about Britons who have gone overseas to join the terrorist groups. It says that they have not lingered on the sidelines once there. Instead, they have become suicide bombers, executioners, and perhaps more valuably to their handlers, propagandists.
Mm.
Now, if they can get kids to talk about what they're learning and what they're excited about and what seems like fun, and what young man doesn't want to go off to war, something that this woman doesn't understand at all, but it seems to be appealing to young men to fight for a cause and, you know, to go off to war, if they can just get them to talk about it on the internet, that brings in more people. It says in 2001, overwhelmingly, the recruits were male, mostly 25 to 35, and motivated by a fellow feeling for other Muslims. However, the typical age of the British jihadist has dropped to around 14 to 25. Women make up 10%. Some are white, some are previously Christian or atheist. Many are troubled mental health victims, and criminal records are very common. Most of them are less devout than previous generations. They're just excited to go off to a big event and do something exciting.
Now, honey, talk about the title just briefly. The title of that article is very important.
Islamist Extremism, The Battle of Ideas.
What did I say a few minutes ago? I pointed to ideas.
Yep.
This is a battle of ideas as much as anything else, maybe more so.
And it's coming at the same time that we are being shut down by everyone because we should keep our personal convictions to ourselves. We should never speak out because it offends someone. And we're doing that because we don't want to hurt anybody. We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to turn anybody away from Jesus. But we're not getting our ideas out to kids.
That's right. The majority of ISIS recruits are men, but there are quite a few women. They also refer to the fact that many of them are children of immigrants with roots in 10 Muslim countries. But here's where I want to bring the focus right now. Here's a statement by a Somali activist. Now, we talked about Somalia.
Mm-hmm.
He is Islamic, but he is a moderate, and he is deeply committed to stopping this recruitment and the radicalization of young Muslims. This is what he says. No young person gets up one day and says, I'm going to join ISIS, said, I'll just give you his last name, Bihi. He's 50 years old. He's a Somali activist who's worked against radicalization since his nephew left Minnesota in 2008 and was killed fighting for the Shabab. There has to be someone on the ground to listen to your problems and channel your anger, Mr. Bihi said.
Mm.
Honey?
What teenagers aren't angry about something?
Well, this is about a willingness to engage young people. We've spent so much time over a lot of years segregating the Christian community into groups by age.
One of your big pet peeves.
When I was a pastor in New England, I walked into a church where they had that sort of segregation of age groups. And without abandoning it altogether, I formed a group where the participants of various ages, they could be junior high kids or they could be senior citizens. It didn't matter. We had topics that were, I think, very interesting. And we had a meal. And so it was a lunch after church. And we had the kind of clever name, Crunch. Come to Crunch. But you know what? The conversation that developed between young people and older people was amazing. They actually wanted to know what the older people had experienced. They wanted to hear their stories. In many respects, they craved their counsel about issues that they were dealing with. What was it like when you were a kid? I'm dealing with this problem. Did you have to deal with that sort of problem way back, you know,
in the olden days? Right.
This kind of interaction between generations is so important. I'm not saying it's the whole answer, but I will say this, that in Islam and in the Middle East in general, people of age are deeply respected by young people, and they will listen to older people. They respect their experience. They hold them, in many respects, with great honor in their own hearts and minds. And I'm thinking about these young people who are wrestling with questions of identity of various kinds. And, of course, in our time, this even includes things like gender issues and sexual orientation. But it also includes the issue of religious identity. And if we begin to become so politically correct, and I'll just put it bluntly, if we lack the guts to sit down and say what needs to be said, we're not going to get anywhere. I'm not talking about trashing anybody. I'm talking about telling the truth and not being inhibited by some kind of political correctness that isn't correct. And it isn't very good politics, to be blunt about it. Honey, this is a battle of ideas. And it's a battle of religious ideas. It's a battle of, can you be sure that you're going to go to paradise? Now, they don't talk so much about heaven, but the word paradise really resonates with Muslims of all ages. Can they be certain of paradise? No, they can't. We can. We can be. Can they be certain that they are loved by God? Or is God distant? Now, they use the word compassionate when they talk about the Quran, and there are various kinds of formulae that amount to tributes to Allah and to the Prophet.
Yes, but following Allah is not quite the same thing as following God, because there's no direction given.
Well, there is a direction of force.
Right. That's
violence.
What I was going to say. There's no direction given that gives them a hope, a reason, a plan for a future. It's all, boy, you better do something dramatic or you're not going to get in.
Yeah.
If you get killed in the pursuit of defending Allah, then you will get in. But one of the other things that the article pointed out is that what these people are appealing to is the kids that are looking for something big to do with their lives.
Yeah.
They don't know what's ahead. They don't have any reason for being.
Purpose.
46% of them live in the most deprived areas of major cities where they've immigrated. They're very poor. They have no hope of a job. They have no hope of a future. But listen to this. One of the recruiters said, once a person is persuaded by ISIS rhetoric, violence is only a short step.
Yeah.
He says, put me in a room with 10 Islamist kids, and I can turn one of them into a terrorist.
Yeah.
Now, why aren't we in rooms with 10 kids showing them the love and grace and mercy and job recruitment of Christ to give them something to live for.
Yeah, that's absolutely true, honey. I think the thing that there really is my passion is the word go. We had three young people on a plane, American young people, military guys, who stopped a terrorist who had planned a massacre, apparently, on that train. These young men took this guy down, and the words that were used when they saw these weapons by one of the three guys, I love. We should live by this, honey, in the Christian community. He said, let's go. Let's go.
Very much like the plane that was taken down on the way to Washington, D.C. with let's roll.
Go. Yeah. Go into all the world. Go. We're waiting for them to come to us. Why don't we go? There's no more important word in all of the scripture, I believe, than that word when it comes to reaching out with the love of Jesus. Well, I'm going to put it again in a very blunt way, the guts to go. The guts to go. Like these young men, they had it. That's what we need. And these young people that we've described again today, enticed by ISIS.
Bless their hearts.
Looking for a purpose, for an ideological framework for their lives, for a purpose to live by. They're not going to find it in a way that is ultimately satisfying. And I hate to say it, but it's really a ticket to hell. That's what it is. Let's go. That's what we do here at Compassion Radio. And we ask you, our listening friend, as you've heard this program today, this is about ideas, yes, but it's about action. It's about going. I invite you to stand with us here at Compassion Radio. What an exciting ministry where we have the opportunity not only to talk, but also to go. That's a Christian radio I'm committed to. And my friend, I hope that you are too. Pray with me, my friend. Dear Lord, give us the courage. Give us the commitment. Give us the passion to go to a needy world, and in particular to these young people and people of all ages who are being led down the wrong path, who are being enticed into a path to destruction. We pray that you will give us the courage to go, that you will give us the courage to give. We thank you for calling us into your ministry, and we thank you most of all for loving us. In Christ's name, amen.
Our project this month, the very first thing we're going to do after Norm has left us, is to find a way to leverage that knowledge and that wealth of library that he assembled over the course of 30, 40 years, and make it available to seminaries that are actually training these pastors in these little corners of the world that have no resources.
Excellent.
And you think about these young pastors, they are learning how to preach and to
yes.
go, and they're not shy. They're not sitting back waiting for opportunity. They're winning people to Christ as they're learning. But they also do want to be effective and be authoritative in the way that would earn respect from those who are secular and those who are sacred, knowing that every time you step forward, you better have a good account for the hope that lives within you.
Sure.
So Norm and Cher have been to many of these seminaries, if you want to call them that, where groups of young students have sat around studying over one or two titles that were available to them.
Oh, my.
They had the Word of God and then one or two commentaries that some missionary left behind that they have been multiplying the knowledge beyond that. But imagine being in a little seminary where you only have two titles to work from, then you've got to write your dissertation or your thesis on the travels of Paul or the law and the prophets according to Moses. How would you do that without the extended knowledge and wisdom and insight and teaching of those who have been in the faith for centuries? It helps to have those books in your hand to learn from the other fathers of the faith. Norm wanted these books to be used for that. That is our first focus this year. It's going to be a multi-year project. But we're beginning this month, Roger, to actually take the tens of thousands of titles that Norm distilled as being the best of the best and finding the right combination of partner and recipient and desire to get these books in the hands of these little seminaries around the world that can really make use of them.
You just need resourcing to make this happen.
To send them.
Your gift of any size this month is needed and important. Please give as generously as you can to keep this ministry on the air as your radio voice for global mission.
For your gift of $25 or more this month, we'd love to send you a thank you gift. Now, we're having to do something we've never done before, and that is to say, we're not exactly sure what that gift will be. We are working on several different projects, either about or by Norm Nelson, and we're trying to make it a memorable and meaningful representation of his ministry. We simply don't know yet which one will be completed in time to send you. Will you trust us with this? Please call our office at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address, by the way, Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Online, we're at CompassionRadio.com. I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.